WFNZ.
Your sports radio.
Broadcasting live, loud and proud from Central PA Sports Authority.
Woo-hoo!
WFXS America.
98.7 The Fox and Knowledge.
It is time for a marvelous Monday edition of Let's Talk, right here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. Jeff Byers, Scott Giese, and hey, it could be you, kids.
Yeah.
814-954-7266. We'll get you into the big show this morning. Hope it was a good weekend for everybody. Lots going on out there.
Well,
lots coming up out there.
Boy, nothing to talk about, which is a big fat fib. Are you kidding? We have an open phone program. Lots of things. Oh, my gosh. These last few days have been a little crazy, right? Well, more than a little. So we'll have some open line time. We'll have our sports update, of course, in just a bit. That's been a little crazy. Yes, grab the kickoff, would you please? Oh, for goodness sakes. Got a busy week of guests. We got some good shows coming up, so stay tuned.
Man, do we have good shows.
Oh, I know, it's a given, I know. There you go.
I mean, come on.
All right, so 814-954-7266. Yes, another dry week. I know some of you are, oh, this is beautiful, it's great. Folks, we really need some rain. Just driving into the studio, I'm just kind of looking left and right, brown lawn, brown lawn, brown lawn. Whew. I mean, it's insane stuff. At my house, talk about bad timing. At my house, we just put some grass seed down.
Oh, that's bad timing.
On a section of lawn. I'm thinking, okay, no. Now, thankfully, I live in a rural area, so I have a private well. Because, man, if I was on city water right now, my water bill would probably be ridiculous. It'd be crazy. So this is one of these times I'm glad to live in a rural area and have a very plentiful water source, which is getting used pretty much every day thanks to a hose and a sprinkler. So anyway, hopefully rain weekend, maybe. That's about it. All right. Joe Bastardi, weatherbell.com. Yep, it's Monday. Yep, he's going to be joining us later next hour. And maybe we'll ask Joe, is it going to rain between now and, like, Christmas or something? And maybe Joe will have an answer for us. So stay tuned for that. Let's save the heavy stuff for later, all right? You know what the heavy stuff is. I mean, this whole Charlie Kirk situation is growing in. I'm not sure what it's growing into. It's growing into some things, and so many different things have happened just in the last, what would it be, 5 days? In all different directions, and not just here. It's also happening in some other places like Great Britain, where they had a big, a protest event over the weekend. I mean, it's amazing. It's scary in some ways. Different things. Charlie Kirk's, I guess, big funeral will be on Sunday at the stadium in Glendale, Arizona, where the Arizona Cardinals play usually. Actually, I haven't checked their schedule, but I assume they have an away game this weekend because the stadium is being used. I mean, that's going to become a circus. Let's save all the heavy stuff for later. All right, let's see if we can stay maybe a little lighter in this regard. All right, how about this? All right, I think I've mentioned before, I'm a bit of a marketing geek. All right, I think, interesting marketing moves. The whole idea with marketing promotion is simply to get people's attention. That's it. And then after that, hopefully, whatever you have, you make a sale. All right, you get somebody to buy something. Okay, that's fine. There's some bad marketing news. We've seen that recently. There's some interesting marketing news, all right? Here's one. I can't remember where I saw this, but it was a commercial for a ring company. In other words, jewelry. This was a commercial for a company with jewelry. and the tagline of the commercial was, "Give us the finger."
Oh, boy.
I'm just thinking, that's not bad, all right? That's pretty good, all right, for a tagline for this company. Now, right after that, I thought, okay, let's see. Let's come up with another good one. So let's say I'm a company that makes gas grills, you know, like barbecue grills, okay? And their tagline could be, "Flip us the bird." Okay, folks, I'm getting over a cold, so my sense of humor is slightly warped. But hey, anything, keep it clean, anything that to get people's attention, why not? Here's one. Coastal Carolina University. All right, you see this one. They did this, I think they did this a couple of weeks ago. Coastal Carolina University, I think Penn State's played them in something. I can't remember what, though. They had an interesting promotion a couple of weeks ago. And I don't know if this was for anybody or if this was just for their students. Might have just been for their students. They had a promotion where over the span of a week down there, the promotion was, if you go to every home sports event in the span of a week. Now, obviously, that's all sports, football, volleyball, soccer, golf, running, who knows. If somebody goes to every home athletic event in the span of a week, and the week they chose, there were 19 different events. And so they must have had some way to keep track of, okay, you're here, okay, you're official, blah, blah, blah. Somebody goes to 19 home sports events in a week, they get a chance to lead the football team onto the field for their next game. All right? In other words, you know, the people with the big flags and all that sort of stuff. Well, sure enough, they apparently had at least one fan who accepted the challenge. This was a couple of weeks ago now. So over the span of a week, this person, I think it was a guy, went to all 19 games, matches, you know, whatever you want to call them. All right, he went to all 19 of them. And then he got to lead the football team, and Coastal Carolina is known as the Chanticleers. I remember that one, the Chanticleers. That's a very unique name. He got a chance to lead them onto the field for a game that I think was at least a week ago. All right. That's pretty cool. Now, did that cost money? No, it didn't cost a dime. As far as I know, it didn't cost a dime. And this guy did it. And so I think he was holding up, you know, one of those big giant flag things. I think he was holding a big flag thing, and he got to run out onto the football field right in front of the football team with the band playing and the cheerleaders and the whole nine yards. That's pretty cool. All right. And of course, that got a good amount of publicity. Now, I'll tell you what. Probably not Penn State, all right? They don't need the help. High schools. If there are high school folks listening, I know this for a fact because yours truly still does some PA, high school PA sports announcing. My buddy over here does the same thing. I do it for Penns Valley. He does it for State College. Already, I mean, we are, 3 weeks into the school year. I've already talked to some people like, yeah, boy, the kids are just, they're trouble. Oh, just can't get them enthusiastic. Oh, we can't get them excited about anything. I've already had chats with a couple of teachers at different schools who have told me this. And the idea is, how do we get students more, you know, excited about school and go on to events and stuff like that? Well, why not do some similar interesting little idea like this? And you put the challenge out there, hey, if you show up at every home sports event over the span of a week, and probably try to pick a week when you have a lot of home games or matches or something like that, yes, you get to lead the football team out onto the field for their next home game. And so, I don't know, you carry a flag or you do carry a sign or something and you run out in front of the team. I think that would be a really great idea. I think that would be really neat. So if there's any high school folks listening, I don't give that some consideration. Kind of copy what Coastal Carolina did. That was a great promotional effort, and it got publicity, news story, the whole nine yards. Great. All right, if we can get folks more excited about things, why not? I think that's a really great idea. All right, so that's good marketing. Then we have bad marketing. It's Cracker Barrel again, although this is actually good news. I think it's good news. Last week, if you missed it, they announced they are not going to remodel their restaurants after their recent brouhaha about their logo change and changing the restaurants and, I don't know, doing one or two other things because they got such a backlash from poor marketing advice that they decided, yeah, this isn't worth it. I haven't seen any stories yet about heads rolling over this, over their recent try at changing things. If anybody else has, you know, call in or something and say something. But again, Cracker Barrel, whoever made those bad marketing decisions, yeah.
Metaphorically, heads rolling. In these times, I just want to make it clear, okay, Mr. Right. Geezy is not.
No.
Harkening a call to violence.
Did somebody lose their job because of some really poor decision making? I don't know. I don't recall seeing any stories that they did, but this gave Cracker Barrel such a black eye, which is unfortunate because I stopped over there like a week or two ago, had lunch, delicious, looking around. This is a pretty cool place. That's what they should be pitching, not, hey, let's go modern. No, no. Lean into what makes you unique. All right? All right, let's see what else do we have. Now, this actually I had from a few days ago. Do you remember there was that Sunday night game, not last night, this is a week ago, the Bills and the Ravens. Remember that game?
I remember that game.
Remember that game?
I was happy with the
end of that
game.
Point, Lamar Jackson and DeAndre Hopkins are, I guess, like celebrating a score, and they're near the fans, and this guy reaches over, and I think he smacks Hopkins in the helmet, then he smacks Jackson in the helmet, and then Jackson pushes back against this guy who's wearing a red shirt. I remember that part. Bills fan. That guy, I'm actually surprised by this a little bit. That guy has been indefinitely banned from Bills games and from any other NFL stadium.
Yep.
That guy can't go to any games. It says indefinitely. Now, that's very, okay, vague. I would think it's probably the rest of this season, maybe. All right, so
they actually were going to make him go watch Jets games, and then they're like, hey, we do have laws against cruel and unusual punishment. we're just going to keep him from watching any of the games. There was a movement. It's like, oh, we're going to make him go watch the Jets. And No! That's a step too far, folks.
That is going too far.
That is a step too far. So they backed off of that.
Or maybe Steelers games.
Cooler heads prevail.
Maybe Steelers games.
Hey, Steelers are 1-1.
Okay. Yeah. We'll talk more about them later. Okay. All right. Now, a while back, this is, oh my.
Back in the day?
A year and a half ago.
Oh, that was back in the day.
We were talking about AI one morning, and you said you thought it would be a great idea. Pretty sure you said it would be a good idea. To create an entire AI movie. All right. In other words,
they are doing that.
Huh?
It wasn't that I.
What?
That's already been done.
An entire AI movie.
Correct. It's not that I was suggesting it. It's been done. They cater to the specific individuals.
You input an idea, and the computer goes to work and makes a whole movie out of it. All right, and how would Hollywood feel about that? Well, there is, a new movie coming out called Critters, which is a story about talking woodland creatures. Okay. It started as a short film, like really short, but now apparently the technology's at the point where they have an extended version, like a full movie that they're making out of this thing. And it's called Critters, ends with a Z, Critters. I've seen a slide or a still photo of this, you know, scruffy-looking animal or something like that. Okay, that's kind of interesting. What's interesting about this movie, now, animated movies, think Disney, you know, Pixar and so on. The budgets for those movies are significant because you've got all these people making, you know, drawing things and creating things and so on. I've got one story here that says the normal budget for animated movies might be somewhere around $200 million. Yeah, that's a chunk of change. According to this, the budget for Critters, which is a full movie, is about $30 million. Whoa, that's a big difference there. Says here, the usual production time for an animated movie is about 3 to 4 years. Critters allegedly can get done in 9 months. Wow. Now, this movie is not done yet. The production company is working on it. They want to have it ready by May of next year in time for the annual Cannes Film Festival, which is a, you know, obviously big deal over in France. So, you know, watch out for that. Critters. And if Critters comes out, number one, and then if Critters is maybe, I guess you would call it a children's movie, but if it would be a hit, get ready. We're going to be seeing more, not just Critters, but we're going to be seeing more stuff. Now, granted, we're talking about animated, you know, figures, animals and so on. All right. We know because I see it on social media almost every day of using AI to make, how would I call this, authentic looking people. All right. I saw some blurb. I'm just, you know, scrolling last night. Here's Donald Trump and J.D. Vance and they're celebrating something. And Donald Trump didn't look like Donald Trump. All right. Like, no, that's a little off. But J.D. Vance kind of looked like J.D. Vance. If I didn't look close enough, I could maybe be fooled. Like, oh, what's Vance doing? Oh, that's not really him. When are they going to come out and do movies with, if you will, realistic people? Watch out for that. All right, the tipping debate. Oh, boy. All right, my wife and I went out to eat over the weekend, had a good time at a sit-down place, left a, you know, nice tip for the waiter or waitress.
I'm against tipping. Leave the cows alone. They're just out there in the field minding their own business. They give us terrific milk products. I love dairy. And, yes, some of them ultimately will end up providing some burgers and steaks for us. But just leave them alone when they're out in the field. Stop the tipping.
Come on, city boy. Have you ever done that? You ever done that?
I'm taking the fifth. I am invoking the fifth.
Okay.
I am publicly taking a stand against tipping.
Let's say he hasn't done
it. Cows deserve better.
He hasn't done it recently. All right. Let's start with there.
That is fact.
All right. You know, all this argument about tipping and no tax on tips and all this other stuff. I never thought about this until this recent story. There are a lot of restaurants where there's no tipping. All right, think fast food restaurants. All right, I've got a store here. McDonald's is a little ticked off. All right, because there's all this stuff about, you know, tipping and wages and so on. And McDonald's recently got up and left the National Restaurant Association. Now, that's a big, big, big deal. Because obviously it's McDonald's. I mean, they're gigantic. Apparently, they are not happy with the National Restaurant Association. They got up and left because, let's see, Chris Kempczinski is the CEO of McDonald's. All right, Chris Kempczinski. He has come out against tipped wage rules, which allows restaurants to pay workers below the minimum wage, because then the idea is, well, they make tips, so that's how they make up the difference. And what Mr. Kempczinski and McDonald's and probably a number of other restaurants are saying is, hey, that's not fair to us. We don't have tips in our restaurant, so we have to pay at least minimum wage for our hired help. Meanwhile, these restaurants over here where people get tips, somehow they are allowed maybe to only pay, I'm guessing here, $10 an hour, because the tip person, the waiter, waitress, whatever, makes up the difference in tips. All right. And let's see, what's his quote here? If you're a restaurant that allows tips or has tips as part of your equation, you're essentially getting the customer to pay for your labor. Now, you could kind of argue that already. Even if you're making minimum wage, okay, customers pay their bill, Big Mac and fries and a soda or something like that. And you take some of that money and that's how you pay your people. All right. But what Mr. Kempczinski is saying that, okay, this doesn't work anymore, this idea, because these other restaurants can pay maybe ridiculously low wages. I don't know. I've never been in that situation. And then the people somehow, hopefully, make it up through tips. And I just saw this story and it just got me thinking, like, you know what? I never thought about that. There are some restaurants that don't do that. And the restaurants that do that, and Mr. Kempczinski mentions Chili's, all right, there's one example and so on. Those restaurants apparently are allowed to offer less than minimum wage to their employees. And then the idea is you make it up in tips. Mr. Kempczinski says that's not fair. So much so that McDonald's got up and left the national organizations. Like, we're done. This isn't working for us anymore. Like, whoa. So next time you go to a restaurant, either if it's a fast food joint or it's a sit-down restaurant where you kind of expected, all right, put a tip down and so on, that's something to think about. I never really considered that till I saw the story. I'm like, you know what? He's right. I can't say I've ever worked at a restaurant. And so I don't have a frame of reference on this one, but that is something to think about. All right, we're going to take a break. We're going to come back. We have sports. Oh, do we have sports? Oh, my, do we have sports? Although, not a good day for my football teams yesterday. Mm-hmm. Plural, football teams yesterday. Mm-hmm. Then we'll have some open line time. And, of course, goodness sakes, everybody and their uncle's talking about Charlie Kirk and all the things that have happened since last week. Are we heading in the wrong direction? Stay tuned for that. We'll take your calls. Let's talk here on 98.7 The Fox. We'll come right back.
Your home for the Goon and Ironhead.
Ironhead and the Goon.
Exclusively on Sports Radio 98.7
The Fox. The Fox Sports Weekend
is your Sunday home for the National Football League. All of the big teams.
Spins into the end zone. Touchdown, Kansas City.
Big names.
Burrow throws over the middle into coverage, and it is caught.
It's the NFL, Sundays
on Central PA Sports Authority.
The Fox Sports Weekend, Sports Radio 98.7, The Fox. Fox Sports.
You know, a hotel's just a hotel, but a house is a home. Decorated to perfection with pride, love, and attention to detail. That's what you'll experience when you stay at the Keller House. A delightful 1887 home in the village of Center Hall, Pennsylvania. The Keller House is not just a bed and breakfast. The moment you open the door, you'll be amazed at the historic, unique, cozy feel of this beautiful Victorian home. The Keller House is just minutes away from State College. So if you're going to the game, turn your trip into a mini vacation. The Keller House Bed and Breakfast. Oh, did I mention the delicious homemade cooked breakfasts? So good. Plus, you can choose from one of 5 themed bedrooms, each with its own bathroom and a central sitting room downstairs. Wireless high-speed internet is also provided. So, whether you're by yourself or bringing the whole family, the Keller House Bed and Breakfast in Center Hall will be your home away from home. KellerHouseBB.com. That's KellerHouseBB.com. 109 West Church Street, Center Hall.
Looking for something different? But you want something that's quick and affordable that won't set you back in the pocketbook? Then you need to head down to Brothers Pizza and Courthouse Pub right next to the Center County Courthouse on North Allegheny Street in downtown Belfast. They feature only the best pizza in town and also the finest selections from Robin Hood Brewing Company, University Wines, and Big Spring Liquors. Come celebrate Happy Hour in Happy Valley every Tuesday through Saturday from 4 to 6 at Brothers Pizza and Courthouse Pub in downtown Belfast.
Eating healthy is important for us and for our animals. The Center Hall Farm Store knows this. Local, fresh ingredients are put in all of our feeds. Expert care from people ingrained in our community. If you haven't been to the Center Hall Farm Store yet, do yourself and your animals a favor and stop on in at 110 Allison Street in Center Hall. See what a difference the local touch can make in providing real quality. And be sure to check out our website at centerhallfarmstore.com.
Getting ready for tailgating or weekend? You need to stock up at the 64 Beer Store near Lamar. The 64 Beer Store has the coldest beer in the county. Over 400 selections, including IPAs, ciders, Oktoberfest beers, cocktails, and wines. The 64 Beer Store carries ready-to-drink cocktails. Conveniently located near Lamar on Nittany Valley Drive, just a half mile north from I-80 on Route 64. On the way from here to there. Stop in today.
This is Jim Galante from the Keystone Sports Network. For the best Penn State football analysis and commentary, join me, Dustin Hawkinsmith, T. Frank Carr, Andy Shea, and Jeff Byers every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 3 p.m. right here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox and State College. We'll bring you game reviews, player evaluation, recruiting news, and plenty more on the Nittany Lions. That's Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 3 p.m. right here on Fox Sports 98.7 for the Keystone Kickoff Show.
It's Let's Talk here on a Monday morning. Jeff and Scott with you. We'll have some open phone time coming up. And right now, we take a check of the busy sports weekend. Second-ranked Penn State football team defeating Villanova 52-6 on Saturday at Beaver Stadium. Penn State improving to 3-0 on the season. Kate Fron Allen with 10 carries for 86 yards and a touchdown. Nicholas Singleton added 84 yards and two touchdowns on 20 carries. Drew Aller finished the day completing 16 of 29 pass attempts for 209 yards with a touchdown and an interception. Luke Reynolds had four catches for 73 yards. Trevor Pena also had four receptions for 60 yards and a touchdown. Pena also had four carries on the afternoon for 33 yards. Ryan Barker connected on all three of his field goal attempts, including two from over 40 yards. Jameer Joseph had a pick six, and Elliot Washington also had an interception for the Nittany Lions. Penn State will head into the bye week after giving up a touchdown on the final play of the game to Villanova. Trevor Maddox connected with Brandon Binkowski on a pretty spectacular play, actually, for Villanova. Nittany Lions now have a bye week before hosting fourth-ranked Oregon a week from Saturday in a game that we're going to call the whiteout game at Beaver Stadium. The idea is everybody wears white.
That's cool.
Oregon opened up Big Ten play, by the way, on Saturday, defeating Northwestern 34-14. The Ducks are now 3-0. Oregon will host Oregon State. That's like a rivalry game. Saturday at 3 p.m. Other scores from Saturday. Well, a few other scores from Saturday. Let's hear it for Joe Bastardi's Texas A&M Aggies. They scored late, made the extra point, very important, and the Aggies knocked off Notre Dame. That would be 0-2, Notre Dame, 41-40. Life was so good on Saturday. Georgia got by Tennessee in overtime, 44-41. Georgia Tech connected on a 55-yard field goal attempt on the final play of the game, and the Ramblin' Wreck defeated Clemson 24-21. LSU beat Florida 20-10. Miami of Florida cruised to a 49-12 win over South Florida. Top-ranked Ohio State pulled away in the second half, for a 37-9 victory over Ohio University. Penn State remains second in both the AP and the coaches polls this week, with Ohio State still number one in both rankings. In the AP poll, the Nittany Lions are followed by LSU, Miami, and Georgia respectively, with Oregon sixth, and the top ten rounded out by Florida State, Texas, Illinois, and Texas A&M respectively. Indiana is 19th, Michigan 21st, and USC now in the AP top 25 at number 25. In the coaches poll, 3rd through 10th in order, Georgia, LSU, Oregon, Miami, Texas, Illinois, Florida State, and Texas A&M. Indiana is 17th, and Michigan checks in at number 20. Couple of other college football notes. Former Nittany Lion Bo Perbula is helping Missouri get off to a 3-0 start in Saturday's 52-10 win over Louisiana. Perbula completed 15 of 22 passes for 174 yards and a touchdown. He also ran for a touchdown. He did have an interception as well. Not in the top 25 at the moment is UCLA. The Bruins are 0-3 after a 35-10 loss in front of hundreds of Bruins fans in a home game against New Mexico Friday night. Deshaun Foster is no longer the head coach of the Bruins. Tim Skipper will now serve as the interim coach. Martin had been the special assistant to the head coach, which had been Deshaun Foster. I think it's safe to say the Deshaun Foster experiment did not work out well at UCLA. The Bruins gave up 298 yards on the ground Friday night, and that largely spurred the end of the Deshaun Foster era. A short tenure, though, it was as head coach. He leaves with a record of 5 wins and 10 losses. He went 3-6 in Big Ten contests. UCLA will be idle this week before opening Big Ten play at Northwestern on September 27th. Also fired over the weekend was former Penn State defensive coordinator and Altoona native Brent Pry as head coach at Virginia Tech. The Hokies are also off to an 0-3 start. Pry was in his fourth season at Virginia Tech. He leaves with a record of 16 wins and 24 losses. Old Dominion upset Virginia Tech in Blacksburg Saturday, 45-26. Philip Montgomery, who had been the offensive coordinator, will serve as the Hokies' interim coach. Penn State senior Levi Haynes will be wrestling for gold today in Croatia. Haynes is representing the United States at 79 kilos at the World Freestyle Wrestling Championships in Croatia. Haynes will wrestle a gentleman from Greece this afternoon. Haynes defeated a Mongolian opponent 4-1 in the semifinals and knocked off Russian 2023 world champion Akhmed Usmanov in the quarterfinals with a last-second takedown. I mean, last second. He got it at the edge of the mat. Haynes also posted wins of 5-2 and 10-0 in his first two matches in his first world championship appearance. Penn State freshman P.J. Duke went 1-1 in his first senior-level world championship appearance, defeating a Chinese opponent 11-0 before losing a hard-fought 11-7 battle to 2024 world champion Norkosa Kapanov of Kazakhstan in the round of 16. Zahid Valencia won gold for the United States at 86 kilos. He outscored his opponents in the tournament 49-0.
Whoa.
Lewistown native Trent Heidley will also wrestle for gold today. So we have a couple of Pennsylvania kids, Levi Haynes from Biglerville and Trent Heidley from Lewistown, who will be competing for gold medals at the World Championships today. Heidley competing at 92 kilos. He will face a Russian opponent in the gold medal match. Heidley has outscored his opponents 42-5 through his first four matches. The Nittany Lion Wrestling Club's Kyle Snyder competing this morning. He is into the quarterfinals here We're keeping an eye on that at 97 kilos as he is pursuing more world-level hardware. All right, on Friday night, the State College football team improved to 3-1 with a 24-14 win over visiting Cumberland Valley. Rowan Walker ran for 173 yards and a touchdown. Connor Kolka threw for 145 yards and a couple of second-half scores for the Little Lions. Phillipsburg Osceola shut out Penns Valley 39-0 as the Mounties improved to 3-1. Phillipsburg Osceola's Archer Bowman threw for a touchdown, ran for a touchdown, had an interception, and our understanding is did deliver a hot dog at halftime. The Rams are now 0-4 on the season. Belfont falling in overtime. Great battle with Clearfield, 22-18. The Red Raiders battled back from a 15-0 halftime deficit to force overtime before ultimately falling to 1-3 on the season. Bald Eagle area losing a tough battle to Tyrone in the Battle of Eagles Friday night, 21-14. The Bald Eagle area Eagles falling to 1-3 on the season. A few other scores from Friday night's action. Mount Union down to West Branch 48-6. It was Mishannon Valley edging Glendale 14-12. Kerwinsville outscored Southern Huntingdon 29-26. Mifflin County fell to Hershey 27-7. And it was Sealands Grove knocking off Central Mountain 27-3. Lewisburg beat the State College boys soccer team Saturday to remain undefeated through seven matches this season. The Little Lions fall to 5-2-2 on the year. Penns Valley's boys soccer team edging St. Joseph's in overtime Saturday 2-1. Colin Foringer scored the game winner with a header in the overtime period. Jeremiah Mano gave St. Joe's the early lead before Penns Valley's Ethan Rowland scored to tie it. The Rams now 4-3-1 on the season while the Wolves fall to 2-4. State College girls volleyball team with a big match tonight at Williamsport. State High off to a 4-0 start while Williamsport at home comes in with a record of 5-1. Also on Friday night, the Penn State men's soccer team giving up a late goal and falling at Rutgers in the Big Ten opener 1-0. Jonathan Evans did have six saves in goal for Penn State, which falls to 2-3-1 overall this season. Penn State will host number one ranked Indiana this coming Friday in a 7 o'clock start at Jeffrey Field. Beat the Hoosiers is what we want to do there. Penn State women's cross-country team winning the Harry Grove Spike Shoe Invitational at the Penn State Golf Courses on Friday. Six Nittany Lions placing in the top 10, led by Florence Karen, who won the race, completing the course 24 seconds ahead of her closest competitor. That's what we call dominant. Penn State's Claire Zuby, Ada Rand, Claire Daniels, and Charlotte Kostich placed third through sixth, respectively, with Lee Hatcher finishing ninth for Penn State. The Nittany Lions had 19 points to easily outdistance second-place Syracuse by 31 points. Penn State men finished second in the same event. Nittany Lions were led by freshman Isaac Opperman, the State College alum. Opperman finished 14th in the men's race with a time of 25 minutes, 27.3 seconds. Nick Sloff of Penn State was 18th. Jackson Schodel was 20th for the Nittany Lions. Syracuse won the men's race, topping Penn State 15-62. Pitt was third with 97 points. The Penn State field hockey team picked up a 5-2 victory over Kent State yesterday. Five different players scoring goals for the Nittany Lions. Morgan Snyder, Aubrey Semler, Joji Purdy, Ella Jens, and Natalie Freeman all scored goals. Snyder, Freeman, Purdy, and Caitlin Strasser also had assists for Penn State in the victory. The Nittany Lions also defeated Bucknell on Friday 2-1. Caitlin Strasser and Cooper Cutchins scored first-half goals for the Nittany Lions in that one. Penn State is now 4-1 on the season and will play the Big Ten opener on Friday evening at Maryland. Brianna Baldy went 3-0 in singles matches and 2-1 in doubles matches to lead the Penn State women's tennis team at the Debbie Southern Fall Classic in Greenville, South Carolina over the weekend. Malia Monfils went 2-1 in singles play for the Nittany Lions at that event. Washington Nationals defeating the Pittsburgh Pirates 4-3 yesterday as the Nats take 2 of 3 in the series. Washington winning Friday night 6-5 before Pittsburgh won Saturday's contest 5-1. In yesterday's game, the Pirates jumped out to a 3-0 lead in the first before the Nationals put up 3 in the bottom of the second to tie it. Nick Gonzalez drove in 2 runs with a triple and then scored on a wild pitch to account for Pittsburgh's runs. Dale and Lyle doubled in the fourth and James Woods scored what turned out to be the winning run on an error by O'Neill Cruz. The Bucks are now 65-85 on the season. Pittsburgh will open a 3-game series against the Chicago Cubs at PNC Park tonight. That game will get underway at 6:40. We will join that game in progress at 7 following the Penn State Players Show, which will run from 6 to 7 this evening here on Sports Radio 98.7. The Fox. Philadelphia Phillies losing to the Kansas City Royals yesterday 10-3. That loss snapping a 6-game win streak for Philadelphia. Phils jumped out to a 2-0 lead in the first on Kyle Schwarber's 52nd home run of the season and JT Realmuto's 12th of the year. Kansas City came back with a couple of home runs of their own, including a big one in the fifth by Salvador Perez. He finished with 5 RBI to lead the Royals offense. Bryson Stott did also homer for Philadelphia. But the Phillies again lose that game by a final of 10-3. Phillies magic number is holding at 3 in the National League East. The New York Mets snapped an 8-game losing streak yesterday as Pete Alonso hit a 3-run walk-off homer in the 10th to give New York the 5-2 win over the Texas Rangers. Phillies will open up a big series, potential postseason preview against the Dodgers in Los Angeles tonight with first pitch at 10:10. The Pittsburgh Steelers had their home opener yesterday against the Seattle Seahawks. Steelers led the game 14-7 at halftime. The Philadelphia Eagles held off the Chiefs in Kansas City yesterday 20-17. Saquon Barkley ran for 88 yards and a touchdown. Jalen Hurts scored on a tush push. The Eagles improved to 2-0 on the season. Steelers were up 14-7 at halftime.
Yeah, they looked bad in the second half.
That's where the story should end.
Oh, boy.
They actually did go ahead and play the second half of the doggone thing.
Bad move.
Chris Boswell looked good. Connected on a couple of 48-yard field goal attempts in that first half. DK Metcalf put the Steelers ahead on a 2-yard touchdown catch from the legendary Aaron Rodgers. Rodgers then connected with Darnell Washington on a 2-point conversion. And then there was this play in the third quarter. After the Seahawks had already taken the lead, 17-14, on a 54-yard field goal from Jason Myers, Myers kicked the ball off. And it hit in what they call the landing zone these days in the NFL. And the Steelers just kind of walked off the field. Watch the ball go to the end zone. Watch the Seahawks pounce on the ball in the end zone. Watch Seattle celebrate a touchdown in the end zone. And that was pretty much all she wrote. Steelers fall to 1-1. on the season.
Yes.
Elsewhere in the NFL, last night it was the Falcons plundering the Vikings. See what I did there? Thanks, plundering. AI. 22-6. Parker Romo had 5 field goals, and the Atlanta defense was able to force 3 J.J. McCarthy turnovers in the Atlanta win. The Dallas Cowboys got the 40-37 overtime win over the New York Giants. Brandon Aubrey was 4-for-4 on field goal attempts, including a 64-yarder on the final play of regulation to send the game to overtime, and then a 46-yard game winner on the final play of overtime. The Bengals got a late 1-yard touchdown run from Jake Browning for a 31-27 win over the Jaguars. Browning took over at quarterback after a Joe Burrow injury in the first half. The Ravens crushed the Browns 41-17 as Lamar Jackson threw for 225 yards and 4 touchdowns. The Colts rallied for a 29-28 win over the Broncos as Spencer Schrader connected on a 45-yard field goal on the final play after Denver was penalized for leverage on a 60-yard miss. Ooh, that's gotta hurt. The Bills cruised to a 30-10 win over the Jets. James Cook rushed for 132 yards and 2 touchdowns for Buffalo. The Detroit Lions hammered the Bills 52-21.
Whoa, the Bears.
Correct. The Detroit Lions hammered the Bears 52-21 as Jared Goff threw for 334 yards and 5 touchdowns. The 49ers defeated the Saints 26-21. The Patriots beat the Dolphins 33-27. It was the Cardinals over the Panthers 27-22. Matthew Stafford threw for 298 yards and 2 touchdowns to lead the Rams to a 33-19 win over the Titans. Tonight, it's the Buccaneers and the Texans playing at 7 o'clock. That will be followed by the Chargers and the Raiders at 10 p.m. Also yesterday, the New York Atlas defeated the Denver Outlaws 14-13 in the Premier Lacrosse League Championship. Penn State alum Matt Traynor had 3 goals for the champs to finish his rookie season with 15 goals and 9 assists. He was the 6th overall pick in the PLL draft this past year. Also, if you missed it, last Thursday night, former Penn State gymnast Steven Nedorosic won Celebrity Family Feud while playing for Penn State Health. His opponent, fellow Olympian Jordan Chiles, faced off against Nedorosic and his family in the episode. Nedorosic and his sister clinched the $25,000 grand prize during a lightning round. He donated the entirety of his winnings to Penn State Health and the Penn State College of Medicine.
Way to go, pommel horse guy.
That is pretty cool stuff. And that is what we have from a busy little weekend there in the world of sports.
He'll always be pommel horse guy.
Yes, he will.
That title, pommel horse guy. That's great. That's really great. All right, we'll take a break in a moment. Now, you kind of missed one thing early on.
Yeah.
All right. There was that game, Old Dominion over Virginia Tech.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Brent Pry got fired after that game.
He did.
The head coach for Old Dominion.
Yeah.
Do you know who it is?
Yeah.
Who?
Ronnie.
Ricky Ronnie. So you had one Penn State guy beating another Penn State guy.
And ending his career.
And cost
as
it
a head coach.
Well, I know. Wait a minute. Okay, not his career. All right. He'll get a job somewhere, for goodness sakes.
Not as a head coach.
Probably as an assistant coach.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to get another job as head coach anytime soon.
All right. I one guy beating the other guy. It's kind of interesting. All right, we're going to take a break. We'll come back. Open line time. Got one or two other sportsy things. And, of course, tons of newsy things after an interesting past several days. You're listening to Let's Talk on 98.7 The Fox. Have that phone ready. We will mention the phone number. All right. We will come right back.
We
We don't just talk sports. The Fox. We live it. Sports Radio 98.7.
The Fox.
Ryan Rackley here from Sunday Night Football on Westwood One. Join Mike Golic and me every Sunday for a marquee primetime NFL matchup. Scott Graham gets things started with a pregame show from the studio with exclusive player interviews and the latest league news. Then from the stadium, Mike and I bring you the exclusive play-by-play call of the action. Join us every week for Sunday Night Football.
Catch all of the action all season long. Sports Radio 98.7, The Fox. Save big and head to your local Toro dealer, Maxwell Equipment, for the sales event going on now. Stop in today and get up to $1,500 off select Z-Master mowers and Grandstand Multi-Force stand-ons, plus $500 off select attachments. Visit Maxwell Equipment on Shiloh Road for more details on promotions and financing offers. Toro, count on it.
Join us for the Goon and Ironhead Show, Tuesday and Thursday afternoons from 2 to 4, right here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. Goon loves Philadelphia sports, I love Pittsburgh sports, we both love Penn State sports, and we both just like talking sports, and you never know where the discussion will take us. That's part of the fun. Join us for the good times, Tuesday and Thursday afternoon from 2 to 4, right here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox.
You know, a hotel's just a hotel, but a house is a home.
Decorated to perfection with pride, love, and attention to detail. That's what you'll experience when you stay at the Keller House.
A delightful 1887 home in the village of Center Hall, Pennsylvania.
The Keller House is not just a bed and breakfast. The moment you open the door, you'll be amazed at the historic, unique, cozy feel of this beautiful Victorian home. The Keller House is just minutes away from State College. So if you're going to the game, turn your trip into a mini vacation. The Keller House Bed and Breakfast. Oh, did I mention the delicious homemade cooked breakfasts? So good. Plus, you can choose from one of five themed bedrooms, each with its own bathroom and a central sitting room downstairs. Wireless high-speed internet is also provided. So, whether you're by yourself or bringing the whole family, the Keller House Bed and Breakfast in Center Hall will be your home away from home. KellerHouseBB.com. That's KellerHouseBB.com. 109 West Church Street, Center Hall.
Now a fraternity or sorority is a brotherhood or sisterhood formed around common goals and aspirations. These men and women make a commitment to each other for life. Members that form a fraternity or sorority share their efforts, friendship, and knowledge, but they should never, ever look the same. That's why there's PAMP, Printing and More Printing. All kinds of t-shirts for all of your group's events, with the artwork as wild as... artwork as visually stimulating as your mind's eye sees it.
For quality you can see and wear, remember PAMP for customized t-shirts, letterheads, envelopes, magnetic signs, and business cards. PAMP has a low minimum of 12 shirts for printing and no minimum on embroidered items. They don't charge art fees or setup fees. Pricing is simple and easy, and they have a quick turnaround. They're open Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. Located at 136 South Harrison Road, Pleasant Gap. For more information, call 814-359-2447.
It's Let's Talk here on a Monday morning. Jeff Byers, Scott Giese, and you can join the show at 814-954-7266. That is the phone number that will get you into the program this morning.
Got a busy week of guests. All right, now tomorrow, folks, we're going to be talking trash with you. That's right, we're going to be talking trash.
Oh boy.
With our friend Amy Scher from Center County Refuse and Recycling Authority. Just going to get an update with those folks over there now that everybody's back and making trash and stuff like that, recycling and such. So Amy's going to rejoin us for a time for tomorrow's show. Thursday, again, we have a guest from FIRE, the Foundation for Individual Rights and Expression. We've had them on before, based in Philadelphia. The original premise to have them on, which we'll talk about, is last week they released their annual college free speech rankings, and Penn State on their list really jumped. I mean, they went way up, which is good. Somehow they're still an F, so we're going to have to ask our guest on Thursday, wait a minute, they did really, really well, like a serious increase from a year ago, and they still get an F? All right, that doesn't seem to make sense. But, of course, with the events or whatever of the past week, fire has gotten into the middle of this, and I'll mention that maybe a little later on. So we have a lot of things to talk about with Sean Stevens on Thursday about just free speech in general. What is it? Where's it going? How's it being used? How's it being misused? And a lot of different directions. That Thursday show is going to be really interesting because the folks at FIRE, it's all about free speech from the right, from the left, up, down, whatever direction. And yes, the activities or the incidents of the past several days have been interesting when it comes to free speech. That's going to be an interesting show on Thursday. Make sure you tune that one in. Do we have our Wednesday guest?
We do. Jim Leas will join us and talk about a really cool thing coming up. Constitution Day Center County will be coming up on Saturday. And as part of the event, this September 20th, there will be a roundtable. Multiple roundtable discussions. This will be at the Delta School, State College Delta School, which is the north building there where the gym is. And this will be from 10 a.m. to 2:30 in the afternoon on Saturday. And let me just get real quickly here. We'll obviously delve into this, but the questions that they are going to have the discussions around, there are three. One, what values do most Americans share? Two, how can we make our political conversations more productive? Three, how might we adapt the Bill of Rights to today?
Ooh.
I think those are three wonderfully intriguing questions.
Whoa, that third one.
And I think I think this will be a very worthwhile discussion. But Jim will join us on Wednesday morning at 9 o'clock here. So,
all right.
Yeah, I'll look forward to that.
Now that event's
kick the Constitution around a
the
little
event's
bit.
On Saturday, right?
Yes, which is Center County's Constitution Day.
The actual Constitution Day is Wednesday.
National Constitution
National,
Day
right.
is
I mean
is
like
Wednesday,
September
yes.
17th. So Jim's timing is perfect. For Wednesday. That's
yep.
perfect. So, yeah, we got some good shows coming up this week, so stay tuned for that. Let me back up to sports just a little bit, all right? Steelers fans are probably dooming and glooming and all this other. Are you dooming and glooming?
It's the end of the world as we know it.
I mean, the second half of that game yesterday is like, ooh, Steelers fans, here's the deal.
Got to get Mason Rudolph in there.
No.
Let him return the kickoffs.
Well, that would be interesting. All right. The next four games from the Steelers could tell the tale.
Will tell the tale.
Will tell the tale.
As to whether or not it's worth hanging around for half of the season anyway.
The next four games are all very much winnable. The question is, will they? Because they were the favorite in yesterday's game and let it get away.
That was a home game.
And it was a home game.
Uh-huh.
So they're at the Patriots this Sunday. Patriots beat the Dolphins. The Mad Turtle still a Dolphins fan?
He is.
Oh.
It's terribly, been a tough start for the Mad Turtle.
Terribly sorry for him.
Yes.
There we go. So that's a winnable game. Actually, I'm looking at this. The Steelers are listed as a slight favorite in that game, which is interesting.
In Foxborough, no less.
Then they go to Ireland and play the Vikings. Now, last night the Vikings got clunked in their own house by the Falcons. I watched a little bit of that game last night. Man, Falcons look really good. Or maybe the Vikings aren't that great. All right, so there's that one. Then they have an off week. Their bye week is kind of early, isn't it?
Well, they're just coming off an off week. That was about as off a week as they are going to have, hopefully, all season long.
So yesterday was a bye game? Is that what it was?
No, okay. Just an off week.
Anyway, get into October. They host the Browns. Okay, it's the Browns. And then they go to Cincinnati to play the Bengals, and I just saw a story this morning. Joe Burrow's probably out until at least Christmas with a foot injury. And I guess it was the last night I saw some, you know, expert, whatever person, that without Burrow, the Bengals are essentially done. I'm thinking, wait a minute, one guy? I mean, granted, Joe Burrow's Joe Burrow. He's really good.
Yeah.
But it's like, one dude? Okay, yikes.
Yes.
So those are that's the Steelers' next four games. By the way, that Bengals game is a Thursday night game. Boo, hiss, boo. So that is 4.5 weeks. The next 4.5 weeks could really tell the tale for this team. If they actually have playoff aspirations, they got to do something in the next 4.5 weeks. Because then the week after that, they play the Packers. That should be fun. Colts, Chargers, they're pretty good. Bills, of course, the Ravens, don't forget them. The Lions, they play them right before Christmas in Detroit. Ooh. Oh, by the way, the Steelers and Dolphins play. Oh, you and the little guy will have fun that day.
Yep.
All right. At the middle of December. All right, watch out for that. Then, of course, there's Penn State. They won by 46 points.
Mm-hmm.
The starting defense has played 3 games and given up 3 points. Folks, you don't get much better than that. I don't care who you're playing. The starting defense has given up 3 points. That's pretty darn good, okay? Kicking game looks solid. Then there's the offense. Now, you go to games, you cover games. Of course, social media being what it is, chatter, chatter, chatter. Oh, Drew Aller, what's the matter with him? Oh, blah, 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 blah. I don't know. What are you thinking? A thought I had over the weekend was, okay, they just played three minnows, okay, if you will. Now it's an off week. It's a bye week. And then, of course, this rather gigantic game now against Oregon.
They go from minnows to ducks.
Yeah.
That's going to be a heck of a transition.
Well, actually, that's a thought, yeah. Mm-hmm. Oregon plays Oregon State, which, of course, big rivalry game out there. But Oregon's like a 35-point favorite. Oregon State apparently is terrible this year. They're awful. So don't expect much from that one. Is Penn State just not showing the playbook?
That's got to be what it is.
Okay, I'm asking you a serious question.
Oregon will be shocked when they see Penn State use the middle of the field with their passing game. Hey, we never saw this on tape.
Well, I mean,
that would be the hope.
Teams do this, right?
Mm-hmm.
They hold back a lot of stuff. Villanova, okay, whatever, but there were a number of plays Saturday, but boy, these Villanova cover, like quarters.
Wait till you see UCLA unleash things on the Big Ten. Man, have they been hiding.
That's the game after.
They are going to be shocked in the Big Ten when they see what UCLA really does. They really wanted to keep their plans under wraps and fly under the radar here. Mission accomplished, Bruins. Nobody sees you coming.
Penn State plays UCLA the week after Oregon.
Yeah.
In other words, 2 weeks from now.
Yes, they do.
Okay. Mr. Facetious over here. What's your general thought, Penn State? What are you thinking?
General thought is they got 2 weeks to shore a lot of things up. And
such as?
Get a lot better. Blocking assignments and sticking with them. Hitting the holes where they are and getting a quarterback that is seeing the defense, making the right reads, and delivering the ball the way you would expect a Heisman Trophy candidate at quarterback to do, which those things we have not seen consistently, certainly through the first 3 games. Again, not time to panic, but an honest assessment. I mean, this offense has not looked sharp. And there are some concerns just about the some of the fundamentals, some of the things that you're like, wow, this is a senior-laden offensive line, an experienced offensive line. It's a quarterback that has a lot of talent, has been through a couple of seasons here, has presumably pretty much seen it all, has a receiving core that I do think is substantially improved, and a great tight end room. Again, you just thought you'd see more here through the first three games. Not time to panic. We're going to find out against Oregon, one way or the other. That is a really good team. None of us know exactly where Oregon fits into the national picture. Don't know where any of these teams ultimately fit in. Have some hunches right now on some programs. But we're going to find out. It's an important couple of weeks. They started last night. Penn State did with a practice last night. They need to come out and play by far their sharpest offensive game of the year against Oregon to be able to stay on track for what they are hoping for and what the fans, I think, are rightfully expecting out of the season.
All right. I will make a prediction.
Yeah.
All right. Penn State is once again number two.
They need the whiteout energy, I'll tell you that.
Bring the whiteout energy to every home game. The fans,
by the way, were terrific. At the start of that game, it was, I don't know if they felt, and the start to the game was fantastic. Like, after the first series for each team, like, all right, this is what we were expecting. And then, blech.
Blech. Okay. My prediction.
Yeah.
Penn State is number two again this week. They will not be number two next week. I think they will slip. Somebody will jump them.
I do not think that's the case.
Are voters, okay?
Yeah.
So I'm assuming, let's see, what is it, LSU, Oregon's playing. Georgia is up there. I assume those teams all have games this weekend. I haven't looked. I assume they all are playing somebody. And the voters, you know, next weekend will say, well, since Penn State didn't do anything, these other guys, oh, that's really good. They'll jump Penn State. They won't be number two.
No.
You don't agree with them?
Yeah.
Really?
That is.
Okay. Folks, mark this down. We'll see who is right. Okay. All right, we're going to take a break. We're going to come back. We're going to switch to news. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, I mean, the whole Charlie Kirk situation is just the different directions this one's going in. And, of course, we're not done with it yet. We have, well, at least more than another week, because, again, his funeral is supposed to be or will be on Sunday at a stadium, for goodness sakes. That should be nice and calm. We're in crazy. I've mentioned this so many times, folks. We're living in crazy times right now. Yes, and then what happened last week just adds to the pile. What do you think? We will open up the phones and give you the chance to utter your thoughts. All right, let's take a break, though. You're listening to Let's Talk on 98.7 The Fox. Don't go anywhere. Oh, no, no. We will be right back.
Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. Fox Sports.
Scott Graham here from Westwood One. Don't miss any of our exclusive NFL action all season long until a new champion is crowned at Super Bowl 60. Of course, each week begins with Thursday Night Football. I'll get it started with a preview and a look ahead at the big weekend games. Then it's to the stadium for the play-by-play of all the action. Join us all season long on Thursday Night Football.
The road to Super Bowl 60 starts right here all season long. Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox.
Eating healthy is important for us and for our animals. The Center Hall Farm Store knows this. Local, fresh ingredients are put in all of our feeds. Expert care from people ingrained in our community. If you haven't been to the Center Hall Farm Store yet, do yourself and your animals a favor and stop on in at 110 Allison Street in Center Hall. See what a difference the local touch can make in providing real quality. And be sure to check out our website at centerhallfarmstore.com.
Looking for something different? But you want something that's quick and affordable that won't set you back in the pocketbook? Then you need to head down to Brothers Pizza and Courthouse Pub right next to the Center County Courthouse on North Allegheny Street in downtown Belfast. They feature only the best pizza in town and also the finest selections from Robin Hood Brewing Company, University Wines, and Big Spring Liquors. Come celebrate Happy Hour in Happy Valley every Tuesday through Saturday from 4 to 6 at Brothers Pizza and Courthouse Pub in downtown Belfast.
Getting ready for tailgating or weekend? You need to stock up at the 64 Beer Store near Lamar. The 64 Beer Store has the coldest beer in the county. Over 400 selections, including IPAs, ciders, Oktoberfest beers, cocktails, and wines.
The 64 Beer Store carries ready-to-drink cocktails.
Conveniently located near Lamar on Nittany Valley Drive, just a half mile north from I-80 on Route 64. On the way from here to there. Stop in today.
Save big and head to your local Toro dealer, Maxwell Equipment, for the sales event going on now. Stop in today and get up to $1,500 off select Z-Master mowers and Grandstand Multi-Force stand-ons, plus $500 off select attachments. Visit Maxwell Equipment on Shiloh Road for more details on promotions and financing offers. Toro, count on it.
Your sports radio.
Broadcasting live, loud and proud from Central PA Sports Authority.
Woo-hoo!
WFXS America.
98.7 The Fox State College.
It's Let's Talk here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. Jeff Byers and Scott Giese with you. Again, some open phone time here. We love hearing from you at 814-954-7266. 814-954-7266. We'll get you into the big show this morning.
All right. Where do we start here? Oh, my gosh. A lot of talking head interviews over the weekend. A lot of things happening over the last several days. Some people have lost their jobs. I'm talking regular people over the last several days. All because of what happened in Utah last week. Now, when I, you know, I've got my phone here, and I use the Notes app on my phone rather extensively, and I just kind of pick and grab notes from things that I see or hear and so on. I mean, I've got quite a list here. I'm not even sure where to start. Let's see. Let's start with this.
All right.
A lot of media outlets out there going in different directions. One media outlet, we'll call this a free plug, that one media outlet that I really, really like is called the Free Press. This is Barry Weiss's organization. Barry, by the way, is a gal, B-A-R-I, used to be at the New York Times until the New York Times staff pretty much booted her because my interpretation is she wasn't liberal enough, so they booted her a couple of years ago, whatever that was. And so she decided to start her own media outlet called the Free Press, which I really, really like because they're not afraid to take on anybody. So I've seen right-wing pieces. I've seen left-wing pieces. I've seen pro-Trump pieces. I've seen anti-Trump pieces. I've seen all kinds of pieces on the Free Press. And so they had a headline over the weekend. Who will stop America's slide into the abyss because of what happened last week? Matthew Continetti is a columnist for the Free Press. Not his main job. He does other things. I've seen him on television. He seems like a really smart guy. And he's written a piece for them. I'm just going to read this. He says, what occurred to Mr. Continetti in the immediate aftermath of what happened last week, and what has only grown clearer since then was, and this is a quote, Charlie Kirk's death feels like a watershed. It is the most stunning evidence that we have to date that America is becoming two nations. Now, right there, I stopped and I'm like, whoa, whoa. America is becoming two nations, divided not only by politics, but by culture, lifestyle, psychology, and then a big word, epistemology. Now, if you're like, okay, I don't know what that means, epistemology. Essentially, you can look it up. It's sort of justified belief versus opinion. Okay, again, fancy word. The idea that are we kind of ever so slowly kind of falling into two different groups? And it makes me think. I saw something over the weekend. Again, I'm an ex-Twitter guy. Scott here, I'm an ex-Twitter guy. The other ones, okay, they're fine. I like ex-Twitter. There's still a lot of diverse opinions on ex-Twitter. Some from the right, some from the left, some from all over. I saw a post from The Nation. Now, The Nation is a media outlet. It's been around for a long time. It is definitely, without question, a far-left media outlet. They're out there. I mean, they're out there. Okay, now that's fine. They can do what they like. Until I saw this post over the weekend, I'm just thinking, really? All right, I'm going to read this. This is a post from The Nation on ex-Twitter for everybody to see. Their post is, Charlie Kirk was an unrepentant racist, transphobe, homophobe, and misogynist who often wrapped his bigotry in Bible verses because there was no other way to pretend that it was morally correct. And I read this piece, I'm like, are you kidding? I mean, I've heard of blinders on, but yo. And then in my notes, I just put, how could they get this so unbelievably wrong? Now, you can disagree with Charlie Kirk and his group and whatever, all you want. That's on you. Do what you like. Charlie Kirk was a racist, transphobe, homophobe, misogynist, and a bigot. He was all those things. And that's how that subgroup of people, that's how they truly see this. Or see him or saw him. Okay? Now, if you've seen that there's been an outpouring of, support, love, whatever, for Kirk and his wife and their little kids and their organization, Turning Point USA. I mean, it's been a tremendous outpouring there. All right. Then you have these folks from The Nation. And I'm thinking, okay, those can't both be right, obviously. They can't both be right. So who's wrong here? And I think it is appropriate to say there's a right and there's a wrong. Now, right there, I just made somebody angry. Oh, you can't say that. Opinion. Yes, I can. I just did. There's a right and a wrong here. Personally, of course, I think The Nation is so unbelievably wrong that they are so blinded by ideology. I mean, literally blinded. They're blundering into the future. They have no idea what the heck they're even saying. It's just this is our gospel and this is what we're supposed to say. Charlie Kirk was bold enough maybe to challenge us, the collective us, on various things. We hated that, so he got shot down. Good for us, all right, because he's all those things. Racist, transphobe, homophobe, misogynist, bigot. Wrapped his bigotry in Bible verses, because, of course, we know that's all fake. It's all bogus. Whew. Man, oh, man. The Daily Wire. Now, The Daily Wire is a right-wing outlet. That's founded by Ben Shapiro. You see him sometimes on television, okay? The Daily Wire had an interesting ex-Twitter post over the weekend. It was just two pictures. And the two video clips. The two video clips were labeled. One was labeled The Response to Charlie Kirk. And in that video clip, there's people praying, there's people hugging, there's candlelight vigils, which there's been a bunch of those over the last few days, right? If you follow the news, you've seen them. So the response to Charlie Kirk was prayers, candlelight vigils, hugging. Then right next to that is a video clip labeled Response to George Floyd. Fires, rioting, looting, violence. And they had these two video clips like right next to each other or right on top of each other. And it's a powerful post. It's a very powerful post. Because to my knowledge, over the last few days, nobody has been burning cars. Nobody has been looting. There's been no breakouts of violence. There's been no, you know, of crime and so on. Unless I missed it. I don't know, Mr. Ironhead, maybe I missed it. I've been a little busy the last few days. I don't recall seeing any of that since the Kirk shooting last Wednesday. Did I miss it? Maybe I missed it.
No, I honestly, I am...
I didn't miss it.
I have a friend of mine who is on the opposite end of the political spectrum. And I don't know if I even, if I want to bring it up. It's a well-written piece. And basically... she's exhausted. She's exhausted by the arguments on both sides. Now, she's coming at this from the left, and she's like, I'm tired of the right blaming this and that. And I'm like, I share your exhaustion. And oddly enough, I feel it from the other side. I am exhausted from reading friends' posts about how, boy, it'd be nice if just once the Republicans showed any kind of concern like this for a school shooting. And I'm like, okay, then you are choosing to ignore the folks, because Republicans never respond. They do. What you're actually trying to get to is that they're not responding the way you want them to with legislation that they don't see as helpful. And, you know, and then we go down that, oh, so you just want, and again, I am really trying. I rarely, pretty much never reach out, and I'm like, I'm going to reach out to my one friend who is just every day posting, Trump's the devil, Trump's awful, Trump could do, we got to get rid of him, we got to do this. And I'm like, and posting stuff on Charlie Kirk. And to her credit, she even posted that, you know, that, well, people are saying that we're taking the Charlie Kirk's comments out of context, which largely they are. And this is a tactic. I'm sure the right does it. I think there are a lot more examples, but that's probably not surprising. I'm trying to really dig through some stuff here in response to this, and trying to really, like, truly understand where the other side is coming from and how they are looking at this. And I do think part of it is the way the narratives get painted, and then it's like, well, you just, by definition, if you're a Trump supporter, you're a racist, you don't care about women or women's rights, and of course, that is patently absurd. You don't care about school shootings, and you... And again, it's the way we look at stuff. And I have people that are just absolutely adamant that yep, Charlie Kirk was all of these awful things, and he didn't have any compassion. And I mean, and he literally, if you go, I mean, the clips are all over the place. If you watch what he's saying, like he doesn't demean people. he goes out of his way to say he does have compassion. He doesn't think anybody should be, you know, what was Stephen King? This is the guy who wanted to stone the gays to death. And you read it and you're like, really? This guy went onto campuses saying he wants to stone gays, and he was able to attract millions of followers. Like, that would be disturbing if you actually thought that. Now, Stephen King has since, I may have been wrong there. I'm like, yeah. No, I mean, just instinctively. I can see how you are feeling hopeless if you are on the left and you are believing that, yep, everybody who voted for Trump did so because they hate black people, they despise women's rights, they want... And it's like, well, my God, yes, what a bleak outlook to have. My friend is like, I said, you know, the reason I like Charlie was I think he really believed in this country and at its best what it has to offer, freedom, you know, the ability to live the life you choose, etc. I went into it a little bit, and then she said, yeah, too bad freedom died in 2017. And I'm like, do I really... I'm just exhausted. I'm like, do I want to explain to you that, like, what freedoms that you had in 2017 do you not have today? And there was a whole laundry list of things that, you know, past grievances, and the country has to correct them. And I really don't know. It's exhausting. And I mean, and it's exhausting on both sides. I get it. You on the left that are listening to this show, I get it. You're exhausted with me. I don't know. I'm really not sure where we go. Because I do think largely this is the politicians propping up the angst between us, the citizens. Because I do think we might have slightly different views on exactly what it means or how we get there, but I do think most of us want the best for our kids. Yes, believe it or not, even those hateful bigots on the right, we want our kids to go to school and then come home safely at the end of the day. Like, how that is even legitimately... Now, I think a lot of it is, we'll score political points here. Okay, but, I mean, really, do you think, and I do think there's I don't know what the number is, but I think it's a substantial number of folks on the left that, yep, Republicans don't give a damn if the kids come home safe from school. It's like, well, you do know that they have kids, right? And that they love their kids, and that they... And I guess there must be at least some portion of you that, they just don't care. I don't know what to do with it. I just don't know what to do with it. I want to reach out. I'm kind of trying to have a conversation, and I don't know. And it's not, neither of us have been, I don't think, uncivil, both probably a little snarky here or there, and I'm fighting myself on that. It just, from my perspective, more often than not, how the Charlie Kirks and the Rush Limbaughs and even the Donald Trumps get portrayed is, well, we're going to take the clip and we're going to, the Donald Trump comment on there's good people on both sides. In literally the next sentence he says, and the left for years, and folks in the media were, well, Donald Trump said there's good people, in the Proud Boys movement and white supremacists as well as those that were fighting against it. That comment, just as an example, the very next sentence he says, now I'm not talking about the white supremacists, I'm talking about the statue issue. That there are good people that believe the statue should stay up and good people that believe the statue should come down. Literally the next sentence. I am telling you there are still people today that don't know that that is what the president said. Because, wow, no, I remember he said that there's good people and racist. That it's not what he said. It's literally the whole empathy thing. And my friend, to her credit, she's all right, well, let's take a look at it. And he says, you know, I'm going to paraphrase now, and I should drop the exact quote, but basically, I don't like the word empathy. I prefer sympathy and compassion. And my interpretation of that is he is saying we can't, maybe I'm wrong. I'm not even after reading through a bunch of comments. I'm like, I don't know. I think it was pretty clear what Kirk was trying to convey is that we can't possibly know. None of us can know what anybody else has gone through. Not exactly. Now, do we have shared experience? Is there a reason there's a suicide survivor support group? Is there a reason there's a cancer survivor support group? Yes, we can have direct shared experiences, but even within that, like it may hit a little differently. It may, different memories may spark different things. None of us are living the exact same life. We're all sharing the same planet. We're all having some similar experiences somewhere along the way. But we have different trauma or lack thereof as kiddos. We have different access to the means that we live by. We have different support structures. Some have, you know, gazillions of loving family members. Other folks have, you know, they've lost their family and their, we go down the long, long, long list of things. And so what I think Charlie Kirk was saying is we need to have sympathy. We need to have compassion for each other. But it's impossible to truly feel what somebody else is feeling. That is my interpretation. And now others, and my friend is like, he doesn't even understand what was the term? Psychological empathy. Which most of these killers, Charlie Kirk's killer, the school shooters, these are narcissists to the nth degree. And there is no value to them in human life. I would just suggest if you actually watch some of the discussions that Charlie Kirk had on these campuses, you can't possibly come away. It is not possible for you to not see that Charlie Kirk does have an appreciation for each individual's life. He wants the very best. Now, you may disagree with what the very best is that Charlie Kirk believes would be the best for you, but he never tried to force it on anybody. That one of the clips I've seen, and I've been watching a lot of clips posted from all over the place on Charlie Kirk. Bill Maher has him in, and Bill Maher and him are, Bill Maher is like, say, you don't drink. He offers him a drink, and Charlie's like, no, I don't. And Bill Maher's like, again, I'm going to paraphrase here, but Maher says, basically, smoking dope helped me be the creative person I am. And Charlie Kirk says, do you know that? Do you know if you would have been more creative, better if you hadn't done it? And Charlie says, I mean, I don't know. I'm not. And Bill Maher's like, well, that's actually a good point. I don't know that because this is the life I have lived. But Charlie didn't. In fact, Charlie specifically says, "No, you can get as drunk as you want with me here. I'm not, like, you know, that's fine. And if you want to smoke marijuana, and then Charlie, like, but we would agree, like, we don't want it out on the street with kids. So there is some common ground. But again, this." To me, it is dehumanizing, and I know there are folks out there that have examples on the left of the right, what they perceive as the right doing that. But I do think that this idea that Republicans or conservatives lack any empathy. They don't care about the planet. They don't care about people. It is insane. I don't know how else. It is insane to think that, no, that we just want, we're living on this planet. We have kids. Why in God's name would somebody want to destroy where they live? And why would they not care? How could they not care about their kids? If you just apply a little rational thought for a couple of minutes, it's like, oh yeah, no, that doesn't make sense. Boy, they really have a different perspective on how to get there. But yeah, obviously, and maybe we need to talk through, you know, whether more guards or more cameras or somehow taking guns from responsible gun owners, which again just doesn't make sense to me as to how we solve the problem. But I don't know. I'm exhausted was the bottom line.
All right,
we're coming right back.
Got to take a break.
Your home for the Goon and Ironhead.
Ironhead and the Goon.
Exclusively on Sports Radio 98.7.
The Fox.
Kevin Harlan here from Monday Night Football on Westwood One. Join us all season long for primetime action on the road to the playoffs and Super Bowl 60. Each week, Hall of Fame quarterback Kurt Warner and I will have the call of great matchups, along with Mike Golic, senior and junior, in the studio. Don't miss out on the great NFL tradition that is Monday Night Football.
Catch all the action all season long. Sports Radio 98.7, The Fox.
Looking for something different? But you want something that's quick and affordable that won't set you back in the pocketbook? Then you need to head down to Brothers Pizza and Courthouse Pub right next to the Center County Courthouse on North Allegheny Street in downtown Belfast. They feature only the best pizza in town and also the finest selections from Robin Hood Brewing Company, University Wines, and Big Spring Liquors. Come celebrate Happy Hour in Happy Valley every Tuesday through Saturday from 4 to 6 at Brothers Pizza and Courthouse Pub in downtown Belfast.
Eating healthy is important for us and for our animals. The Center Hall Farm Store knows this. Local, fresh ingredients are put in all of our feeds. Expert care from people ingrained in our community. If you haven't been to the Center Hall Farm Store yet, do yourself and your animals a favor and stop on in at 110 Allison Street in Center Hall. See what a difference the local touch can make in providing real quality. And be sure to check out our website at centerhallfarmstore.com.
Getting ready for tailgating or weekend? You need to stock up at the 64 Beer Store near Lamar. The 64 Beer Store has the coldest beer in the county. Over 400 selections, including IPAs, ciders, Oktoberfest beers, cocktails, and wines.
The 64 Beer Store carries ready-to-drink cocktails.
Conveniently located near Lamar on Nittany Valley Drive, just a half mile north from I-80 on Route 64. On the way from here to there. Stop in today.
This is Jim Galante from the Keystone Sports Network. For the best Penn State football analysis and commentary, join me, Dustin Hawkinsmith, T. Frank Carr, Andy Shea, and Jeff Byers every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 3 p.m. right here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox and State College. We'll bring you game reviews, player evaluation, recruiting news, and plenty more on the Nittany Lions. That's Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 3 p.m. right here on Fox Sports 98.7 for the Keystone Kickoff Show.
It's Let's Talk here on a Monday morning. Again, phone line is open, a little open phone time here, and then Joe Bastardi, weatherbell.com, will join us in, just a few minutes here, actually. So a couple of minutes here, though, if you want to join the conversation, weigh in with something more meaningful than I have today, because I don't know how we bridge this, because I just think we are ascribing things to each other, and I'm really trying not to do it on my side and overgeneralize and all of that. But it's out there, and I don't see the path forward here in terms of now. Hopefully, we can. Let me be clear. I think. And really hope I'm right, that we can at least get together and say, yes, we should not be killing anybody over words. And we should be doing all we can to protect innocent people to the very best of our abilities. Now, again, we're going to differ on that, and I've already read different things on what should be done. Should we even have outdoor rallies anymore? And it's heartbreaking. I think it's not an unreasonable discussion to have. I just, in a free society, I want us to be a free society. I don't know what we do with the risks that are out there. I don't know what to do with it because we can't live risk-free. And one of the things that, you know, Kirk, we get into these discussions on, well, if guns were never invented, okay, but they were, and now we have them, and now the question is, what do we do moving forward? And again, you can not want anybody to die by gunfire. I don't. With the possible exception of in some wars, people that have evil intent, and this is where you get down. Oh, so you do think it's a we can have those discussions. I think let me pivot a little bit and just try to give the example that I think Charlie was, the point that I think he was making in the one gun discussion that gets used against him now consistently. And that is, I don't think there's any of us that want innocent people to die in a car crash. I don't know anybody left, right, anywhere else that's like, yep, okay with people dying. But collectively, as a society, we are okay with car deaths. Well, what do you mean, Ironhead? No, we don't want anybody to die. The speed limit is, what now, 70 in some places, I think, 65, 70. And we are okay with that, knowing that there will be more deaths than if we limited all cars at all times to 35 miles an hour. Well, Ironhead, we can't, I mean, my gosh, production would slow down. Right. So we are, like, we know there will be people that die. Well, then, if I die in a car crash, well, Ironhead got what he deserved. He said, well, no. This is the game that we play. It drives me bonkers. We got to take a break.
All right.
Joe Bastardi, WeatherBell.com, is coming up next.
We don't just talk sports. We live it. Sports Radio 98.7.
The Fox.
Ryan Radke here from Sunday Night Football on Westwood One. Join Mike Golic and me every Sunday for a marquee primetime NFL matchup. Scott Graham gets things started with a pregame show from the studio with exclusive player interviews and the latest league news. Then from the stadium, Mike and I bring you the exclusive play-by-play call of the action. Join us every week for Sunday Night Football.
Catch all the action all season long. Sports Radio 98.7, The Fox.
Save big and head to your local Toro dealer, Maxwell Equipment, for the sales event going on now. Stop in today and get up to $1,500 off select Z-Master mowers and Grandstand, Multi-Force, Stand-Ons, plus $500 off select attachments. Visit Maxwell Equipment on Shiloh Road for more details on promotions and financing offers. Toro, count on it.
Join us for the Goon and Ironhead Show, Tuesday and Thursday afternoons from 2 to 4, right here on Sports Radio 98.7, The Fox. Goon loves Philadelphia sports. I love Pittsburgh sports. We both love Penn State sports, and we both just like talking sports, and you never know where the discussion will take us. That's part of the fun. Join us for the good times, Tuesday and Thursday afternoon from 2 to 4, right here on Sports Radio 98.7, The Fox.
You know, a hotel's just a hotel, but a house is a home.
Decorated to perfection with pride, love, and attention to detail. That's what you'll experience when you stay at the Keller House.
A delightful 1887 home in the village of Center Hall, Pennsylvania.
The Keller House is not just a bed and breakfast. The moment you open the door, you'll be amazed at the historic, unique, cozy feel of this beautiful Victorian home. The Keller House is just minutes away from State College. So if you're going to the game, turn your trip into a mini vacation. The Keller House Bed and Breakfast. Oh, and did I mention the delicious homemade cooked breakfasts? So good. Plus, you can choose from one of five themed bedrooms, each with its own bathroom and a central sitting room downstairs. Wireless high-speed internet is also provided. So, whether you're by yourself or bringing the whole family, the Keller House Bed and Breakfast in Center Hall will be your home away from home. KellerHouseBB.com. That's KellerHouseBB.com. 109 West Church Street, Center Hall.
It's Let's Talk here on a Monday morning, and well, normally our final segment of Monday morning, we bring on none other than Joe Bastardi, WeatherBell.com, and so we do again today. Good morning, Joe.
Well, good morning. Good morning, Jeff. Good morning, Scott. I hope everybody is having a great day. My day is getting better because one of my cats got out last night. And if you folks have ever had cats, you know, I can't understand how two cats can live with each other for 3 years but not recognize each other just because one was outside for 9 hours, got some different scents on them. And it's been like a war zone in here. I had to run up to the pet pub and get not pro-hormones, what, pherones or whatever it is to calm these cats down in here. So, that's what I've been doing besides looking at the weather this morning. By the way, I want to say something, and I'm much more aligned with Senator McCormick as far as the way I look at things. But John Fetterman, he is really, he's just a special guy. I'm going to tell you that. That guy will be a senator for as long as he wants to keep running for Senate in Pennsylvania. I don't agree with a lot of the stuff he says, but he's just an open-minded, good guy. I mean, I don't know if you folks are noticing a lot of the things. And, you know, there's people on Republican. You should switch to Republican. He's not a Republican. He's a Democrat, but a Democrat the way, you know, I used to be. You know, we were always taught to always look at the other side of the issue constantly. And, you know, he calls every issue as he sees them. I just wanted to say that because I sort of got a reputation because of my stance on climate. I would like to get in front of him for about a half hour and show him some of the evidence that we look at, you know, and see what he says about that. But that's neither here nor there. Anyway, of course, it's been an interesting week. I guess that's an understatement right there. I found myself... We have this storm coming into Virginia Beach tomorrow, and it's a non-named system, but it is going to cause more wind and rain on the North Carolina, Virginia, Delaware coast than Erin did. Erin was a big storm that went to the east, and they're not going to name this thing because initially it's not tropical in nature. But it's interesting in that it's going to cause, you know, on September 16th, you get hit by 40 to 60 mile an hour winds, 6 inches of rain, and tides 2 to 4 feet above normal with 20-foot waves. If we didn't have all this technology, what would you be calling it? And what was weird about it, a little bit weird, is that, you know, what happened with Charlie Kirk last week, and his wife's name is Erica. I kept putting, you know, this will cause more wind and rain than Erica, because the name Erica was on my mind. Instead, and my boss at WeatherBell said, "Hey Joe, don't you mean Erin? Because that was the name of the east storm." And I said, "Yeah, you know, when something's on your mind quite a bit, sometimes it slips it." But that's a significant feature because, even though it's going to come inland and weaken, and one of my arguments with the National Hurricane Center or something like this is, one, I've seen them name storms out in the middle of nowhere that have similar structure. And two, if it gets a name, people will be more aware of it. If it had a name this morning, it would be the top weather story. And three, it is actually going to bring us some rain, I think, Wednesday night to Thursday for a little while. Not the kind of rain that they're going to see down Virginia, because the storm, once it goes inland, will start to weaken very rapidly, as systems that are tropical in nature do when they go inland. And then it'll just sort of drift out to the south of us. But it's probably going to cause us a little bit of rain. Not enough to get the lawns growing again. So I can just email my landscaper and tell him he doesn't have to mow the lawn again this week. And I continue to save money on that. And I hope most of you people are saving money on that, too.
I've saved some money, yeah. Well, Joe, just give it a name. You've done that before. Call it Storm Ironhead or something. Just give it a name.
Well, no, with winter storms, it's funny. The naming of winter storms started back in the 70s with the Travelers Weather Service in Hartford. And so when Big Fred Hansberger, I used to be on WRC, Big Fred Hansberger liked me. And so I was on the campus weather service, and what he did was, he said, we want you to do WRC. So I was doing WRC. I see Wendy. I'll go to an LDS service, and Wendy Williams is in there all the time. And I tell Kale, I go, this is a guy that gave me my start right over here, Wendy Williams, and Kevin. But we used to name winter storms, and I stole that idea. I stole that idea from Travelers Weather Service. And so when I used to be doing some forecasts here on the Fox, I was, we were naming some winter storms, but the Weather Channel, that's not original. I decided to up the level of that. I'm starting to name cumulus clouds. I think we should just name everything. We should name heat waves, cumulus clouds, days when the humidity is up over 80%, So winter storm naming has been around for 50 years. Like many of the things you see, folks, they've always been there. They just get brought to attention, and they think, oh, where did this come from? On this day in 1930, I think it was, it hit 97 in Washington, D.C. And, today it's going to be about 81 in Washington, D.C. I was just thinking, what if we had net zero back in 1930? It might have only hit 94 that day. But this is an interesting situation with all this warm air now in the east. You see, last week it was very cool. Now it gets very warm. You know what that is? It's climate change. Anyway.
Well, I'm going to name the storm Storm Ironhead. There, I just named it.
There you
we,
go.
We named an Ironhead, and we named a storm after you, Scott.
Yes.
We had one storm that really petered out completely. It's funny because my rival here in forecasting in town, you might think it'd be one of the other broadcasters, but no, it's Casey Cunningham. And what Casey does is he simply waits. It's sort of like he's like a defensive wrestler. He waits till I put out a forecast, chops it in half, and then claims he's right no matter what falls, which is probably a pretty good situation, as far as you want to be right. Because I'll come out and say, there was one storm, I said we were going to get 20 to 30 inches, and they had 25 in Bellefonte. We had 17 or 18 in State College. I never heard the end of that. What happened to the 20 inches? You should measure snow the way I measure snow, folks. If you always want heavier snow, put the and Elliot used to always bust on me sometimes. I said, yeah, I had 6 inches out of my house. He goes, would you put the ruler in diagonally? Instead, it's just straight up and down. Now, do you have any weather questions?
Well, yes, I suppose. Now, I was going to joke with you, Joe, that are we going to get any rain between now and Christmas?
We'll get some. Yeah, you guys, what you say, hey, are we gonna ever have a dry day between now and July 4th? I mean, you're just swinging in the wind. You're like jellyfish floating on the ocean. Whichever way the wind blows, that's where you guys blow. Come on, we needed this dry weather. Do you realize if it stayed that wet, I'd probably be about $2,000 in the hole. Yeah, I used to mow my own lawn, but it gets kind of tough. Gets kind of tough when you get older to mow the lawn. I don't feel like buying a tractor because I'll just fall off and get chopped up. underneath the blades. That's how things go with me. But now, yeah, we're going to get into a wetter pattern later in the month and on into October. I think October is going to be wetter against the averages. And I'm watching real closely this end game for the hurricane season. If you have a big end game, you know, Florida gets hit. You look at the correlation between Florida getting hit late in the season and early season outbreaks of cold Arctic air between Thanksgiving and Christmas, like we saw last year. There's a pretty studly correlation to that, and it has to do with the same kind of pattern that can cause a tropical cyclone later in the season. When that pattern rolls back around, we call it the Mann-Julian Oscillation. In December, it tries to help with cold air. So, you know, I look at every weather event, folks, is not only what it's doing now, but what it may mean coming down the road. So, and I do think that we're still going to see one or two more storms try to hit the United States this year. Though globally, it's amazing how quiet it is. Well, I can't even believe what I saw. Like September 12th, there were no tropical cyclones anywhere on the planet. I mean, I've never seen that before on September 12th, because that's like the height of the Northern Hemisphere tropical season. So very, very interesting things going on as far as the relationship between the tropics and the temperate regions. And it may have some impact down the road. The weather's always connected. My dad used to always say, you know, he used to always watch the patterns in the summertime and the tropical season around North America to give them a hint as to where the winter was going to go. And it was very interesting seeing that correlation. I'm not saying he was right every single time, but he was right enough to say, well, that's something I should take a look at.
All right. We've got about 2 minutes, Joe. Totally crazy question. Totally crazy. First snow. When are we going to see the first snow? Totally crazy.
I would not be stunned to see the first flurries in October this year, but I think it's more likely between Thanksgiving and Christmas we see our first accumulating snow this year. I'm really fascinated with what I'm seeing with the pattern. I've never seen computer modeling so bad a month out, the climate models. They're just constantly busting where they say it's going to be warmer than what it's turning out. You know, this first week of August and the last week of August got very, very cool. And, of course, the first 10 days of September was very cool. And, you know, out of nowhere, it looks like October is going to start turning cool, especially in the center part of the country. I'm talking relative to averages. And this is basically opposite of what climate models have been saying, you know, the longer-term forecast. And I suspect it has to do with the configuration of all the warm water in the North Pacific and the colder water in the North Atlantic. I'll tell you what, this could turn out to be a pretty studly winter. The last time we had the ACE index in the Atlantic Basin this low was 2013 and 2014. Both of those years, folks, there was very warm water just off the Pacific coast of the United States and Canada. Both of those years, there was a stratospheric warming event over the South Pole, like we're seeing now in September. All right? So you see how this is, you say, well, what a stratospheric warming event over the South Pole. The fact is that there may be some linkage there with where the warm water is configured, and the impact on the tropics, and then the impact in the upcoming winter season. So this is one of the more fascinating things that's going on. I think it has to do with there's been a big drop in the global temperature, water vapor. We've come off the high from Tonga and that El Nino a couple years ago. So I think that the reactions are taking place that aren't quite the way they were a couple of years ago.
All right, so a dry week. Although you said maybe Wednesday, on Wednesday night?
Wednesday night to Thursday, I think we could get a tenth to a quarter inch of rain from the system that's going to hit Virginia Beach tomorrow.
Right.
You know, I got a buddy down there. Every bodybuilding contest I go into, he beats me, right? We're real good friends. He says, why don't you come down here? Because he knows who I am from the weather. He goes, come on, come down here. We can watch a storm together. I said, I'm not driving to Virginia Beach for a 45-knot storm or 45-mile-an-hour storm. Now, if it was 80 knots or 100 miles an hour, that'd be a different story, but this isn't that strong.
Thank you, Joe. We'll talk to you.
Sports Radio 98.7, the Fox. Fox Sports. The Fox.